Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It's 7:10 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. You heard David talking about the firing of the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Deputy, Deputy Duran, for violating the use of deadly force policy in Okaloosa County. I believe that is the right decision. We'll talk a little bit about that because it's important to understand why that decision was made, why he was fired, and also whether he's likely to face charges. This is different from the FDLE investigation, right? This was the internal affairs investigation at the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office, the Administrative Internal Affairs Investigation, the AIAI, if you prefer. But they released that, and a lot to be said about this. Talked about it pretty extensively in the 5 o'clock hour. If you want to catch the podcast for that, you can go back and listen. But here are some things we're saying. The basic problem in his response to Airman Fortson is that Airman Fortson did not constitute a direct threat to him and had not engaged in any kind of deadly force resistance, nor did he constitute a direct imminent threat to him, life or physical injury. If you read the OCS, Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office, General Order 401, deadly force shall only be used when the officer reasonably believes that the action is in defense of human life, including the officer's own life, or in defense of any person in imminent danger of serious physical injury. And neither of those conditions were met. We've talked about this many times, okay? Deadly, in terms of our law enforcement and the right, you know, rights and obligations you have as a gun owner. Deadly force resistance. This is when somebody is resisting your arrest. Deadly force resistance is a subject's hostile attacking movements with or without a weapon that create a reasonable perception by the officer that the subject intends to cause and has the capacity of causing death or great bodily harm to the officer or others. Also not satisfied. So condition one is, and this is applicable to you too, you can't draw your gun on somebody and you cannot shoot somebody unless they constitute an imminent threat to your life, your bodily injury, or great bodily injury, or somebody else's. Okay? So, you know, although it feels very exciting to say to somebody, and you post a sign up that says, you know, if you trespass on this property, you know, or, you know, don't loot, we shoot, or something like that. Well, guess what? That's illegal. Unless they constitute a direct threat or a reasonable person standard threat to your life or limb or somebody else's life or limb, then you cannot shoot somebody. Okay. And in this case, he didn't have the gun up. He didn't have the gun pointed. He didn't do anything to imminently threaten the officer's life, and that's why they found that he violated policy. The second one is, if you're, you know, engaged in somebody resisting you, and he was not resisting. Now, if you read through, and I read the whole 29-page report. If you read through the officer's testimony, it's more complicated than that, but that's your, like, first thing. That's why they fired him, okay? And the report is very thorough. It goes through all of the body camera footage. It goes through the mindset of the officer. It goes through what was going on in the chat call, the, you know, the FaceTime call that Fortson was on with his, I think, girlfriend at the time, and all of the surrounding circumstances and what was in the deputy's mind, okay? But in terms of just basic use of force, you can't show up at somebody's house and shoot them because they are holding a gun that's not pointed at you when they answer the door. Now, the second question, is going to be whether he's going to get charged or whether he's going to wind up getting convicted of a crime, like, say, homicide, negligent manslaughter, anything in the realm of homicide, okay? And I've read the report, and I'll tell you that I think there's probably going to be charges brought. The question is, of course, going to be whether the state attorney believes that she can secure a conviction. And sometimes you don't bring charges because you don't believe you can secure a conviction. There might be a grand jury impaneled for this. Once we get the FDLE report, you know, it's going to be crucial what the FDLE report. But based on what we know now from the OCSO report, I think likely to have charges. But I think it's going to be very hard to get a conviction because in the mindset of the officer at the time, if you listen to his interview with IA, he's very clearly concerned that he's not going to be able to come home if he doesn't act immediately. His description of the events leading up to the shooting, his description of the shooting itself, his reaction after, why he doesn't go in, why he doesn't render aid, why he's worried there might be somebody else in the apartment, a whole range of things indicate that he was very, very clearly worried, at least according to this testimony, that he would not survive the encounter if he didn't act immediately. For example, actually, we'll come back to this in just a second because I want to spend a little bit of time on this. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
We are not seeing too much happening on our roadways this morning. Traffic is still built up a little bit on Palafox Road heading northbound at the intersection of Tahar and a little bit north on Fairfield. The accident at eastbound on 98 and Highway 87 has been cleared up significantly, so no reason to expect any delays through that area this morning. And if you're in Pacer Milton, Woodbine building up significantly and building up on the bridge on US 90 as well, but clearing up as you get into Pensacola. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So back to the Okaloosa County Sheriff's report on the shooting of Airman Fortson. A couple of things to keep in mind. The deputy describes seeing him holding the gun, but not holding it straight down the way you would hold it if you were deliberately trying to not point it at somebody. I've held guns down like that many, many times. He was holding it just a little bit angled forward in what you might call a relaxed arm or maybe an about to raise it kind of position. Not raised, not hip shooting, anything like that, but just now he could still see the sights on the back of the gun. He could see that it was a Glock sight, that distinctive white U rectangle, half rectangle on the back of the gun sight, and there was a red dot sight, things that are designed to make it, you recognize, okay, you see enough guns, you recognize. So he was definitely not being pointed at because if he were being pointed at him, he wouldn't see that, okay? The other thing is he told him to step back and he instead took a slight step forward, which he said he perceived as noncompliance and possibly a threat, and his eyes. In his eyes, he didn't see an inquisitive look. He saw what seemed to him to be an intense stare that indicated anger or aggressiveness. Those are all things the deputy said that he observed. Now, again, the IA report said that none of that justifies the shooting. I agree with that conclusion. That's correct. That's not according to policy. The challenge is if you're going to convict him, and I don't know whether he'll be charged. I don't know whether he'll be convicted. I would not want to sit on this jury. This is a very hard question to answer. Because immediately after the shooting, when the other deputies had arrived and they had cleared the apartment, he goes outside and he slams his hand against the wall and yells an F-word. And he asked him in the interview, he said, "Why did you do that?" Quote, "Because that was something that I had hoped would never happen. And it was as far as the shooting and everything, it was just kind of letting out whatever, built up emotion and frustration and just letting it out because it was just one of those things where, as I'm standing there thinking I'm about to get shot, I'm about to die. And so once said and done, it was just all the emotion going, oh, my God, like, just let it out, And then, of course, trying to keep it together. And, I mean, that was just letting out whatever emotions and fear and frustrations come out." Deputy Duran continued. "It was immediate. Again, for me," and I'm leaving out a lot of the ums. There's a lot of pauses in this that are transcribed here. "It was immediate. Again, for me, it was, go in the home, clear, make sure we're good, make sure he's getting aid, and then essentially business first, personal me afterward. And so it was just replaying what took place, and it was, you almost didn't go home today. And so it was just one of those, I got to get that out really quick. So, yeah." Mr. John Whitaker, Deputy Duran's attorney representative, asked Deputy Duran if he had an overwhelming thought, taking everything into account when he decided to use deadly force. Deputy Duran said, quote, he's got me. I mean, it is him or me at this point, and I need to act as opposed to react. And again, in the kind of the lead up to the incident, all of the thoughts going through his head about how to position himself in case it's a escalated domestic violence situation. They're taught to go in treating it as a possible force situation. He's trying to go in as, you know, wisely as he can, thinking about things like the railing. He can't escape over the railing. He'd get seriously injured. He can't escape down the hall because it's a hall. He's trying to set himself up to not be ambushed through the door by a gun or somebody rolling through the door on top of it. And like all of these things are in his description of why he did everything that he did. And the other thing that a jury is going to hear and consider, and again, I'm not telling you this because I think it justifies him. I just want you to know the totality of the story here. I was so sad reading this report because of how this awful thing, it shouldn't have happened. It didn't have to happen. It's obviously terrible for the airman who's dead, and it's terrible for the deputy too. Okay, you say, well, yeah, but he's alive. I understand. But let me tell you about the deputy, only because the jury is going to hear this. He served in the U.S. Army from 2003 to 2014. That's 11 years. With a combat deployment to Iraq in 08, Deputy Duran started his military career in military intelligence in 07, moved into military law enforcement. While a MP, Officer Deputy Duran received additional training through the Army's Special Reaction Team. He received an honorable discharge. After serving in the United States Army, Deputy Duran started his civilian law enforcement career in Oklahoma, where he worked as a police officer and a canine officer from 15 to 19, 4 years. For a period in 2016 through 2017, Deputy Duran was a fire marshal for the Altus Fire Department in Oklahoma. During 19, before moving to Florida and beginning his career as Okaloosa County Sheriff's Deputy, he accepted a position as a sergeant for the civilian law enforcement police department on Altus Air Force Base. Deputy Duran first began his career at Okaloosa in 2019. He left in 2021 to follow his spouse, who had a career opportunity outside Florida. His spouse's career returned them to Florida, where in 2023 he rejoined Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office. He had also accepted a position at the Department of Children and Families, DCF. Schedule facilitated his completion of his undergraduate degree, which was in criminal psychology. And he's also about halfway through a human service counseling master's degree with a focus on crisis response and trauma. And he is completely up to date on all kinds of training, including use of force training. If not for this shooting, this deputy is the kind of guy you describe as a hero. You just would. You'd describe him as an American hero. And according to his testimony to the IAA investigator in this case, he was afraid for his life. The question is going to be whether that was a reasonable fear enough to justify not being charged or not being convicted with any of the degrees of homicide that are potentially on the table here. And I don't know the answer to that. I think the sheriff's office was right for firing him. I don't know what's going to happen with the possibility of criminal charge. It's entirely possible for somebody to violate policy and not retain their job and yet still not be charged and fired, or not be charged and convicted. It's also entirely possible that somebody loses their job and also goes to jail. He could well go to jail for this. So obviously we'll be waiting for the FDLE report. But I wanted to share that with you because it's context and truth about this story that has been, I think, somewhat well reported, but maybe not in all the details. And I wanted you to have the details. 723 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be talking about Father's Day, Beer Fest, dinner with strings attached, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
The most famous verse in all the Bible is famous for several reasons. It's famous because it's rich with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's famous because it models godly giving in an amazingly sacrificial way. It's famous because it explains the way to heaven as well as the avoidance of eternal hell. Have you figured out which verse I'm talking about? If you thought John 3:16, then you're right. It powerfully states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you have never confessed your sin and called on Christ to save you, I urge you to trust Christ today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join Lori from Davis Hardware and U-Haul on Pep Talk tomorrow at 10 a.m. for Davis Hardware and U-Haul's show, talking about what makes Davis Hardware your go-to place for those hard-to-find items. Listen to Lori and find out more about Davis Hardware's solutions for a happy home and a happy life. Your home is talking to you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, whatever your skills, behind the scenes or in front, you belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
Wrap up your day with all of the national, state, local sports and entertainment news with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin on News Radio 92.3.
What is your damage, Heather?
Good morning, 7:26 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Did you see the BJ's lights this morning? Jimmy, you saw it, right? I'm not making this up.
Yeah.
They were flashing all morning, like all of the lights in the parking lot were flashing, like they were doing a rave.
Yeah, it was like a rave.
They were only white, so it wasn't that much of a rave. But, you know, if they'd have been a rainbow colors or something, then I would have thought so. It was weird, though. I didn't know if the aliens were trying to send me a message or, you know, what was going on. I mean, they don't talk to me that way normally. Jimmy's got traffic on the five. Jimmy?
If you were in Pace or Milton getting onto U.S. Highway 90, you can expect to see some traffic built up on Woodbine and Chemukla and a little bit over the U.S. 90 bridge, but clear as you get into Pensacola. I take that back. It's actually built up quite a bit since I last looked at it coming into Pensacola. If you are sticking to Davis Highway, you can expect to see a lot of slowdowns on East Johnson Avenue, the intersection with Davis Highway. They're right outside of the hospital, building up right as you approach University Parkway intersection. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Indeed.com. Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Jimmy?
Yes.
I'm hungry.
All right.
Just thought I'd let you know.
Sounds good. Sorry to hear that.
David Wainson.
Okay. I thought you were about to read an ad.
With our head. No, just, you know. Just trying to keep everybody informed. David Wayne's.
I feel your pain.
Do you?
We can start a support group if it'll help.
Very good. David's got our headlines, David.
History's been made in Mexico with the election of the country's first ever female president. Claudia Sheinbaum is the former mayor of Mexico City. She'll succeed President López Obrador.
I heard the news report at the top of the hour on Fox News says something along the lines of she had some kind of Jewish history. That was kind of like what do you mean some kind of? Like, she is or she isn't?
I must have missed that report earlier.
Well, you hear from her name, Sheinbaum, that, you know, there's something, but I thought it was just such a weird way to describe it. I'm like, what? She's a Jew. She's not a Jew. She's Jewish by culture, Jewish by blood, Jewish by practice. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry. It caught my attention. First female of Jewish ancestry of any kind.
Well, the Stanley Cup finals are set. The Oilers took down the Stars in Edmonton to win the Western Conference final series. That means the Oilers will face the Panthers in the game one this coming Saturday. Andrew, there's a new study out that shows late night eating boosts the risk of
developing... What did I just say? What did I just say?
Were you talking about this?
I was hungry.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not late at night, so you're good.
All right, go on then.
You're good. This study shows that late night eating, though, boosts the risk of developing colorectal cancer. This study is out of Chicago's Rush University Medical College, the first to look at and find a link between eating late at night and developing cancer. Researchers say they studied more than 600 people that were getting colonoscopies and found half admitted that they were late night eaters.
Okay, okay.
So all those nights of living moss may not be good.
Come on. Can I do a little analysis on this study? You ready?
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, the difference between causality and correlation, okay? Is it because they eat late at night? Or is it because, A, the kind of crap you eat late at night is crap? Or B, because the kind of people who eat late at night live otherwise unhealthy lifestyles. It's not because they're eating at 2 a.m.
It's because they're eating 800 tacos at 2 a.m.
That's right. Oh, okay. And gotcha. With tequila. And that they're up at 2 a.m., right? Is my own theory. So just, you know, oh, somebody said news radio, informative, local, hungry?
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Hunter Biden inside the courthouse in Wilmington, Delaware. The first of two federal trials that start today for the president's son.
Prosecutors say that back when Hunter was trying to buy a gun in 2018, that he lied on a federal form saying that he was not a drug user. Hunter's attorneys say they will challenge that assertion.
Fox's Rich Edson in Wilmington. Executive action on the border expected from President Biden.
The details of the big announcement are under wraps for now, but the AP reports the White House plans to shut off asylum requests and automatically deny entry to migrants each day on a daily basis once the number of people encountered by border officials reaches a set cap number.
Fox's Jillian Turner at the White House, the largest voter turnout in the history of Mexico, supporting Claudia Sheinbaum. She's the first female president of that nation. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola. We've got 75 degrees. It is mostly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. A Pensacola man arrested over the weekend after allegedly attacking a group of people using a glass bottle and even a gun. That happened on Saturday night. Police say 25-year-old Ramondani Richardson was involved in a dispute with a group in a roadway at Palafox Place in Intendencia. Officers say he first struck a person in the head with a bottle, then fired shots into the group. One person was shot in the leg. Others were injured by shrapnel. Everybody is expected to be okay. Richardson now faces multiple charges in the case, including 5 counts of aggravated battery. Well, there is a new offer on the table for the OLF 8 property in Beulah. Tri-W Development out of Alabama has reportedly offered Escambia County $36 million for the property. Commissioner Jeff Burgosh posted about the offer on his online blog. He says they'll be discussing it this coming Thursday. Commissioners are also still discussing or considering a proposal from Beulah Town Center, LLC. It was for $25 million for a portion of that property. Looks like Donald Trump is back on TikTok. He joined the social media platform on Saturday night. The first video showed Trump greeting fans at a UFC match in New Jersey. The U.S. Postal Service now kicking off its 2024 dog bite awareness campaign. They're highlighting the worst states in the U.S. In 2023, Florida ranked 7th in total dog bites of postal workers with 193. First place in their rankings was California with 727 dog bite incidents. The deputy that shot and killed senior airman Roger Fortson in Okaloosa County last month has been fired. The sheriff's office says an investigation determined that Deputy Eddie Duran's actions were not objectively reasonable. He was responding to a reported domestic incident when Fortson answered the door with a gun, which was pointed at the ground. The deputy shot Fortson several times.
I don't think that deputy woke up that morning saying to himself, I'm going to go out and kill or shoot somebody of color. But I do think sometimes unconscious bias plays a role in how people respond, particularly to black men.
That is the president of the Okaloosa County branch of the NAACP, Sabu Williams. He tells Channel 3 that this is a good first step for justice. After the incident, Williams tells Channel 3 that it also shows the sheriff is willing to be accountable for the actions of his deputies. And another launch attempt of Boeing Starliner has been delayed until at least Wednesday. This after NASA delayed the liftoff just minutes before the mission was set to launch on Saturday. The Starliner, when it does launch, will be the first crewed test flight for the capsule, carrying two astronauts to the International Space Station. 7:34 at News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jimmy, what are you seeing?
Well, we're seeing a lot of traffic building up on Brent Lane this morning. If you were heading eastbound on Beverly Parkway and Brent Lane, you can expect to see a lot of traffic building up right before North Palafox Street for about a half mile or so, and continuing on a little bit here and there before the I-110. Traffic building up on east of Hard Drive at the intersection of Palafox Street there. Traffic building up at a lot of intersections downtown Pensacola. So expect delays and use caution driving through downtown, specifically on 9th Avenue at the intersections of Gregory and Chase Street. If you're coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you can expect to see just a little bit of traffic built up right before Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve, heading westbound on 98, but clearing up as you pass through the park and going through the bridge this morning in Pensacola. Pace and Milton, we are seeing a little bit of a buildup on Woodbine Road and continuing on to the US 90 bridge, clearing up over the bridge, but building up a little bit as you exit come into Pensacola. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have a chance of rain as we go through the afternoon today. 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. A few storms could be strong. Temperatures today very warm with highs in the upper 80s and low 90s. We will feel more like the mid-90s to 100 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 92. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 71. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 75 in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, 73 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Southwest Airlines is set to return to federal court today in hopes of reversing an $8 million award to a flight attendant who said she was fired for her anti-abortion views. A judge also ordered that the airline's lawyers take religious liberty training. Southwest argues the flight attendant, Charlene Carter, violated company rules. Carter's lawyers argue firing her violated federal law, shielding employees from religious-based discrimination. The Washington Post has announced its executive editor, Sally Busby, has stepped down after 3 years at the top of one of journalism's most storied brands. She will be replaced by Matt Murray, former editor-in-chief of the Wall Street Journal, through this fall's presidential election. No reason was given for Busby's departure. Futures are slightly higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 574, the NASDAQ down 2, and the S&P 500 up 42. Once again, futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
Gold demand is hitting record highs, but supply may not keep up. I'm Dr. Ron Paul, and I believe physical gold is the only way to truly protect your retirement savings from a chaotic world. To learn how to diversify your IRA or 401k into physical precious metals, text the word SHELTER to 989898 for a free info kit on gold IRAs from Birch Gold Group. That's SHELTER to 989898.
Message and data rates may apply.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
New tornado warning just in effect now for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
At any time.
Very, very heavy rain here at the radio station. As a matter of fact, I believe our building is even out of power right now.
When you need to know.
So this is the warned area. Now a tornado warning in effect until 2:03.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
When you need to know.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on a farm are kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys.
Texas.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Yes, it is our monthly check-in with our good friend Ryan Jenkins, owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, because we like to, ever since we did that full year of what's happening this week in the life of a farm, I feel like it's just, I feel much more connected to the people who feed me and my boys. And I will tell you, without farmers, I was trying to think about this the other day, you know, without farmers, things go bad pretty quick. We can get by with a lot of other stuff, you know, talk show hosts, you know, tire manufacturers. You cannot get by without the farmers for very long. Ryan, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I make the life better, but you make the life. Put it that way. You know, that's
the idea. I don't know about that.
So, last time we checked in with you, you were concerned about things being a little bit dry. And I believe, and I hate to bring it up, but you had made the comment that what we really don't need is some really harsh weather. And then?
That's right. We talked about that. It was funny. I was looking through my notes. That was on the 6th of last month, and I was looking through my notes before the show today, and I thought, well, pretty much everything I talked about happened. But, you know, that's the way it goes in farming. You know, when we talked last time, we were dry. We couldn't continue planting because we didn't have enough moisture to plant. We needed a little bit of rain, and you know, I forget sometimes to specify when I talk with God. I learned a long time ago I need to specify how much I need because he might just put a lot on me. So, and I forgot to mention that, and he did, and I'm thankful for it. But I don't know if all the viewers know it or remember it, but the north half of the county had a very, very bad storm. We talked on a Monday, and then that Friday morning about 3 o'clock, lights went out, and it got bad. It was literally like hurricane type damage over a large area in the north end of the county, and lots and lots of trees and debris down, barns blown down, houses messed up, people without power for 3 or 4 days. It was literally like very reminiscent of a hurricane. And, of course, you know, we had talked about our wheat and oats being ready to harvest, and the last thing we needed then, it looked like a really good crop, and we didn't need any bad wind or anything like that. Of course, we got that, and it put a damper on things, and it slowed us down some, and we lost some yield on our wheat and oats, but we're finished with our oats. We finished combining those, our wheat. We just like one day being done with that. So we're almost through, but it's really, really a busy time because everything is very sensitive to time this time of year.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that about the folks who live down, you know, in Milton and Pensacola and Gulf Breeze not being aware. And I think you're right. I think, you know, when you tell me that's what it was like, it's hard for me to, like, what? Like, we didn't even have the power out. You know, but the north end of the county got swiped really bad. Both counties got swiped really bad. I mean, I know there was a tornado, you know, two, I think,
that's right.
If I'm not mistaken. And, you know, to hear
that's
that
right.
And to hear about the power being out for more than even a day, it's just, you know, obviously that's exactly the kind of weather you were hoping not to get. And it is the weather that you exactly got. So what has that meant for you in terms of, you know, you can't just quit. So what do you do when that happens?
No,
do you replant?
Well, I actually had, there was one place in Allentown where we have a large section of land that we farm, and we had a cotton field that had just come up. It had been planted and it had just emerged. Little plants were out of the ground, and it got really bad through there. Lots of damage. There were about 8 or 10 light poles in a row broken off right through there. And it ruined that over 200 acres of cotton, and we had to replant that. And that's just a lot. That's a lot of money. There's the cost of replanting, which is, you know, you might as well just throw a rough number out there and say it costs about $100 an acre to replant that. So that's 20-something thousand dollars right there of replant costs that there's no insurance for or no anything like that. That just comes out of your pocket. But there's also, at the end of the year, when you harvest that cotton, we planted that cotton at a specific time for a reason. That's when we thought we would get our highest yield. So now we're a month later replanting it, and you're going to realize that in the yield at the end of the year. So you've got your replant cost, then you've got the cost of a decreased yield at the end of the year. So that $100 isn't the end of it.
Because
that could very well cost us $300 or $400 when it's all said and done.
So the net loss is you're talking like $30,000 or $40,000 off of your end of year total. Is that what you're telling me?
Correct.
Yeah. And I assume that's because you plant it when you plant it in order to make sure that for cotton that it gets the total number of heat units that you guys calculate that it's got to get to reach full maturity. And now since it came in later, it's just not going to have that same number of days of heat. And so it's, unless really bizarre things happen, it's not going to produce anywhere near the yield that the other would. Is that basically right?
That's correct. Mm. And those numbers you use, it's going to be higher than that. The loss will be higher than that over that field. You know, that field was about 215 acres.
Wow.
So,
and that's just that one field, just to put it in perspective. All right. We're talking to Ryan Jenkins. Field. He is the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. We'll come back to him in a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are heading into Pensacola from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you can expect to see a lot of traffic built up westbound on 98 right before the Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve. That clears up as you get through the park this morning and clear over the 3 mile bridge into Pensacola. Pace and Milton, seeing a lot of traffic built up on Woodbine Road at the intersection of Highway 90 there. And built up on US 90 Bridge a little bit as you get into Pensacola, but clearing up as you exit the bridge and get into town this morning. Seeing a lot of traffic building up on Davis and University Parkway, as well as the Olive Road intersection there with Davis Highway. And on Brent Lane, you can expect to see a lot of traffic built up right before North Palafox Street, clearing up as you head eastbound this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. I still to this day don't fully understand the whole idea of how crop insurance works, but I guess it's in part, and I mean, I know it's because it's a combined shared cost between you and the insurer, and it's not 100%, and people think that it's like their home insurance, and it just isn't. But also, I assume that there are kind of like deadlines for you to meet so that if you've got the plants in the ground, then they'd be eligible for the insurance. Am I thinking about this the right way? And how does the storms affect that?
That's right. So like replanting that cotton the other day, there was no insurance for that. We just have to pay for that on our own. But there are plant dates. They know that after a certain date, the chance of you making a normal yield are almost zero, right? It takes so much time for each crop to make a crop. So they have final plant dates, and those are coming up. Peanuts is June the 5th, and cotton's June the 10th. So we have those dates. That's the last date that you can get 100% of your insurance. After that, they give you another few days. I can't remember. I'd have to look it up. 10 or 15 days. But the amount of your insurance decreases every day that you're late planting your crop,
okay,
until it gets to a certain point where they won't insure it anymore.
So every year you're kind of, I guess, kind of racing against those deadlines based on timing and opportunity and the soil being appropriately wet to plant and all that kind of stuff. I assume that the storms interfere with this plan and make it so you're more up against that deadline than you would otherwise be. Is that true?
That's correct. So we still like a couple of days of peanut planting, for example. And the deadline on that, the last time to get your 100% of your insurance is on June the 5th. And it's, you know, we've gotten, 3 inches or so of rain. So it's too wet to get in the field. I can't plant today, even though I need to be planting. When is June 5th? I don't even know.
That's Wednesday. Maybe. Yeah, it's Monday. That's Wednesday.
Right. So if it'll dry off today and we can miss the thunderstorm today, maybe I can get done by Wednesday. And the same thing with cotton. And the other thing is we're double cropping these crops, some of these crops behind the wheat and oats. So it has to be good weather to get those crops harvested. Then we have to go in there and work the soil, put out our fertilizer, blah, blah, blah. You know, all the different things that we have to do and get them planted in a timely manner. But typically you got to have it dry for the wheat or oat harvest. And then you're going to need some moisture to be able to plant your money crop, as I call it. So, you know, it's a time crunch right there, and that's where we're at right this minute.
So you need it
to get in there and finish planting our crops.
You need it to be wet enough to plant, and then you need it to be sort of dry enough to harvest. But then you also need it to be wet enough to replant when you're double cropping, and then it's got to be dry enough to not destroy it.
That's why we don't do more acres of double crop than we do. I mean, you've got this land sitting there that you're paying for, and you've got all this equipment that you're paying for. So naturally, you'd love to get two crops off of one year, right? But it's too dangerous. It's too risky to try to do too many acres of that. That's why, I mean, we do about roughly a quarter of what we farm with double crop.
So what happens if you can't get the second one in? Do you just give up on that land, or do you put it in with expecting a lower yield? Or, I mean, what happens?
Well, I will never not put something in.
Okay.
And soybeans, you can plant those a lot later. We haven't even started on our soybeans yet. So very worst case scenario is somewhere you were planning on planting peanuts or cotton, and then you get push back. You know, I would feel comfortable planting soybeans up until July.
Okay.
So
there's
that option.
And on the meeting the insurance deadline, it's not that you can't continue to plant those crops. It's that you can't insure them. And so, which, of course, is also tied to the fact that they're not going to yield as much because they're being planted so much later in the season. All of that kind of combined together.
Right.
So you might plant them, but they're not.
It's a big moving target.
I thought farming seemed so easy. I mean, you just lazy driving those tractors on the side of the road and, you know, chewing on a piece of straw and life is simple, right?
Living the dream. It's a nightmare, but we're living it.
Hey, before we go, we always like to end with a farm fact or a did you know something about farming. I know you always have one for me, Ryan.
Yeah, you know how a lot of times you'll see on social media, I'll post stuff. I'll be in a field of peanut M&Ms or cotton underwear. Just to bring awareness to what products come from some of the things we grow. And, you know, while I'm doing oats, I'm a big oatmeal cream pie fan. Always talk about them out here farming my oatmeal cream pies. Well, in reality, the oats that we grow, only about 5% of those are for human consumption. The rest of them pretty much go to animal feed. So,
okay.
When I'm talking about that, some of it's tongue-in-cheek, but still, people need to understand where their food and fiber come from, and that's the goal of what I do.
Okay, so when I'm eating peanut butter, I'm eating what Ryan Jenkins made. When I'm wearing my jeans, I'm wearing what Ryan Jenkins made. And when I'm enjoying burgers or something, I might indirectly be enjoying what Ryan Jenkins made because he made the oats that fed the cows that made the beef that I'm eating on my plate. Is that right?
That's right.
All right.
Or the wheat that made the bread for the
Oh, there you go.
The hamburgers.
Exactly right. Interesting. Always interesting. Ryan, thank you so much for what you do. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us every month to just keep people informed and in touch with what's going on in the farming community that's so important to our economy and to just our way of life and being able to live, man. I appreciate you. Appreciate you feeding my my kids and putting food on their plate and putting clothes on their back, man. We'll talk to you again next month. Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us, and I hope everybody has a great week.
Eat more peanuts. 7:53 on News Radio Pensacola.
That's it.
7:53 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you've got any kind of a plumbing issue, a leak, a drip, a weird sound in the wall, the pressure's not good, the temperature's not good, or you need somebody to fix something you fixed, guilty, call Barbary Plumbing. They will take care of you with flat rate pricing by the job, not by the hour. 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Mex Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2x Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
It's News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, the website, the app, or your smart device. It's news on your terms.
Good morning, 7:55 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Jimmy's got our traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
Well, if you are heading eastbound on Brent Lane, or Beverly Parkway, rather, you can see a lot of traffic built up right before North Palafox Street, before Beverly turns into Brent Lane. But clearing up as you approach the I-110 intersection there. Traffic still built up at that triangle of Palafox, Tahar, and Fairfield Drive at all those intersections. So expect delays if you were using those intersections this morning. Coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you guys are looking pretty good heading westbound on 98 all the way over the 3 Mile Bridge into Pensacola this morning. And Pacer Milton, you guys are looking pretty clear on Woodbine and Chemukla all the way over the US 90 Bridge into Pensacola this morning. A lot of traffic built up downtown at every intersection, specifically on Cervantes Street and Palafox there, and on 9th Ave at the respective intersections of Gregory and Chase Street. So expect some delays driving downtown this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives. The
downtown intersections are like if you did an MRI on me after I work out. It's red at all the joints.
Yeah, that's good.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Jury selection expected to start today in Delaware in the trial against Hunter Biden, who's accused of illegally buying and possessing a gun in 2018. Rapper and singer Sean Kingston was booked into the Broward County Jail overnight. Kingston, whose real name is Kashawn Anderson, faces a long list of charges, including a more than $1 million criminal fraud scheme. And beaches off the coast of Southern California are closed after a shark attack in San Diego over the weekend. A 46-year-old man was with about a dozen other people in the water on Saturday for their for some type of a training session when a shark apparently bit him several times about 100 yards offshore. Officials say his injuries were significant, but he's expected to be all right.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620, that is my phone number. If you need any kind of benefits for your employees, if you've got employees and you run a company and it's doing well and you're growing and you got to figure out more benefits for them, I mean, that's good, right? The problem is you probably didn't get into your business, whatever it is, whether it's medical services or legal or manufacturing or IT. You probably didn't get into it because you loved red tape and figuring out insurance. You got into it because you love, you know, doing the thing that you do, but then coming with success and prosperity and employees is all these other things. And you want to make sure they've got good health insurance, good dental, vision, life, disability. You want to make sure you've got the proper human resources tools and, you know, payroll, that you handle that. Okay. All of that stuff, Torgerson Causey, they take care of all of that stuff. We started using them several years ago here at News Radio, and I didn't realize what a blessing they would be because I didn't know what we were missing when we didn't yet have them. Looking back, I can say, oh, God, it's so much better. Like, you know, there's a lot of things with insurance these days. And, you know, when they change, when plans change or when prices change, they always have good information, detailed information, which my wife always appreciates. You know, my wife has run through a lot of insurance agents, but she really vouches for the folks at Torgerson Causey. And when you get my wife to vouch for you, that's really something. She's an industrial engineer, so numbers and facts and details, and she's very, very satisfied with them. Anyway, you want them to come take a look at what your business does, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. They will take good care of you. Hey, coming up in a minute, we're going to talk to the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief Deputy Randy Tift is going to be our guest. Of course, coming up next hour, we have the Frivolous segment, which is always fun at 8:35. Also, if you're going to be going over Palafox North on the I-10, like crossing over that bridge tomorrow starting at 8, there's going to be construction there down to one lane, so plan ahead for that. And River Birch Road is closed for a week starting today.
You're listening to
News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.